This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. My friend Chris Edwards told me about a class she recently took through JMU's Lifelong Learning Institute called Enjoying the Lord of the Rings. I asked the class teacher, retired Presbyterian minister Bill Painter, to come in and talk to me. The first question I asked was how he personally became so enamored of Tolkien's trilogy. Well, Bill Painter said, it's because of two things that happened almost simultaneously in the early 70s.
A dear friend, who is no longer with us, gave me a set of books and said, I think you would enjoy reading these. And what it was The Hobbit and the three volumes of Lord of the Rings. So I took them and, okay, was holding on to them. And then not long after that, I got an infection that laid me up, and I had to stay in bed for, I don't know, several days, and then I had to lay off a loaf a couple of weeks after that. So I had plenty of time to read. So I read The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and then on finishing Lord of the Rings, I immediately turned around and reread it again from the beginning. Only time I've ever done that.
Why?
Well, because I was thrilled by the story, and I didn't want to see it end. It was so good. One of the blurbs on the back, which, of course, are for promotional purposes, I know that, quoted one critic as saying, this is a book that will break your heart. It is good beyond hope.
What about the story captured you so completely?
It is a good story, well told, lengthy, and complex. I am a storyteller. And I have read a lot of stories, and I like a story that has action, by which I do not necessarily mean a lot of violence and shoot 'em up, but in which things happen. And indeed, things happen in The Lord of the Rings. I have come to realize, although I don't know that I realized it immediately as I read it the first time, that one reason the story of Lord of the Rings is so captivating, it is a story that is very applicable, to use Tolkien's own word, applicable to our own history and our own life experience.
You mean humankind's history or whose history?
Yes, I think very close to being universal history, universal experience. Tolkien himself says, like all human stories, it deals with life and death, and it deals with seeking a great good, seeking a great good through danger, and finding the great good with the assistance of those that would seem most unlikely at first glance. And that is a theme, as I'm sure you know, which is well nigh universal in folk tales, mythology, questing all the way back to Homer and the Odyssey and the Iliad, and back before then until the first semi-human ancestors sat around campfires and told stories in the evening to amuse one another.
And here you are, now in the 21st century, and it's still resonating personally with you. You felt the tug and the pull. Where did that come from, in you personally?
Well, I think it came from the reflection of, what should I say, archetypical elements in my being, in my persona. I think we all share some of this material with other human beings. And you can go on into psychology and mythology and all kinds of academic disciplines to explain how this is true. But I believe it is true that there are certain archetypes that keep recurring because they speak to our human condition and our mortal life as we experience it. As most people who've read Lord of the Rings come to realize, the Lord of the Rings is really one chunk of history, of a much larger history, which Tolkien has written concerning the world that he created. It's called Middle-earth, and its history, as he has laid it out, runs all the way from its creation up to the time when human beings take control of the world And that ending in Tolkien's work is left open-ended as far as the history of Middle-earth goes. But The Lord of the Rings is one piece set within this larger history at a critical turning point in the history of Middle-earth, but not the beginning. You see throughout The Lord of the Rings glimpses, as it were, of things that happened in the past, references to past events in the history of Middle-earth, references to people who had lived centuries before, thousands of years before. And there are many volumes of this earlier history that have been published.
As a retired Presbyterian minister, how'd you like Mr. Tolkien? Do you think you'd like to sit down and have a conversation?
I'm not sure I would. Tolkien, like all of us, was a child of his own time. Tolkien was a British academic. By our standards, he was very sexist. And I think we would find him racist, too. You may notice one thing that bothers me a little bit in Lord of the Rings is that the dark-skinned people are always bad and the best of the noble people are always fair-skinned and one suspects blonde-haired, although that's not always the case. And that's a function of who Tolkien was. I mean, he was born before the beginning of the 20th century. I don't remember the date of his birth, but as a young man, he was an officer in World War I.
Yeah, so times have changed a lot.
Yes, times have
Hallelujah.
Changed a lot. And his attitude toward women would be very distasteful to many women today. In fact, one of the criticisms that one woman in my lifelong learning class on Lord of the Rings had was that the whole story seems to be expounding the heroic quest myth, which is she said, was a part of the masculine psyche. Now, I'm not sure that the heroic quest is necessarily limited to the masculine psyche, but for her, it felt like it was.
Well, I may have to disagree with her, having felt the urge to go on a heroic quest every now and then.
A lot of people think that The Hobbit is sort of the introduction to The Lord of the Rings, as it has been for many people, as it was for me, as I said a while ago. But really, The Hobbit was written as a children's book. But the real predecessor to The Lord of the Rings in terms of the history of Middle-earth is the book called The Silmarillion, which contains the mythic account of the creation of Middle-earth, the rebellion against the Creator, which introduces evil into the world of Middle-earth, which, of course, is the source of the drama. You've got to have conflict for drama. And it's that background of the thousands of years of history of Middle-earth that sets the stage for Lord of the Rings. And that the fact that the Lord of the Rings grows out of this completely fleshed out historical background is one reason The Lord of the Rings sounds so real, has a depth and a ring of reality which far surpasses that most fantasy books have.
Have you seen the movies?
I've not seen The Hobbit. I saw the Lord of the Rings. And as far as movie adaptations of large and complex books go, I thought it did a good job. I think if you haven't read the book before you go to see the movies, I would say.
You can hear Bill Painter's two-minute history of the island of Numenor, one of those historical Middle Earth places referred to in The Lord of the Rings, on the Spark page at WMRA.org.